This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. If you have a kid or were a child once yourself, it is likely that you've heard The Snowy Day. Children's book by Ezra Jack Keats has an enduring popularity with young readers, and it's historically significant for being recognized as the first full-color picture book with a black protagonist. Keats himself was white. The Snowy Day was published in 1962. That same year, artist Ashley Bryan achieved another milestone in children's literature. He became the first African-American author and illustrator to publish a children's book. Like Keats, Ashley grew up in New York City and lived through the country's Great Depression, but Ashley Bryan didn't have to imagine the black experience to write about it for kids. The realities of being an African-American in a bigoted society inspired Ashley Bryan's work as a children's author. Positive messages about perseverance, pride, and the preservation of African folk traditions characterize his writing alongside his colorful illustrations. This year, Ashley Bryan is the recipient of the Coretta Scott King Virginia Hamilton Award for Lifetime Achievement, and is being honored by the North Carolina Museum of Art with an exhibition called Rhythms of the Heart, the illustration of Ashley Bryan. And he has a new children's book out called Who Built the Stable? He's here in North Carolina this week. He's going to make a few author appearances, and we are very fortunate that he had time to drop by and talk with us. Ashley Bryan, welcome to the State of Things.
It's great to be with you.
We hinted at the story about your passion and the development of your interest in illustration in kindergarten. But tell us that whole story. You were doing an alphabet book, I guess, in kindergarten.
Yes,
right?
In kindergarten. It never stopped.
You go home, you publish, and you think, I'm going to do this for a living. What role did books play in your life as a child?
Well, in growing up, there were so many things that interested me in literature because of the child I was reading and being read to, and so it was natural that I'd follow that up. And since artists love to draw to what they read, that's why almost every year you'll have another Mother Goose book or another Cinderella. I've always loved to draw to what I read, and so I began making these little books as gifts for family and friends. I realized early on that what I created meant more than anything I could buy, and that encouraged me to keep going.
How early? In elementary school, you're making and binding these little books?
That's what the teacher said when we did the ABC book. You have done, you're the author, the illustrator, the binder. Take it home. You are the distributor as well. And it was the praise I got from family and friends, that encouragement that a child needs to persist. I was always getting the encouragement. And so there was, I never stopped.
And eventually you got some training. And in high school, I guess you were, tell us about this, because you were actually denied a scholarship to an art program because you were African American.
It's interesting. That's 1940 New York City also. And I brought my portfolio. It was, when I brought it to the major art school, it was said it's the best portfolio we have seen, but it would be a waste to give a scholarship to a colored person. Well, I had learned early to persist in what I love to do. And so when I went back to the high school, I had all white teachers all the way through, elementary through high school, all encouraged me, gave me material through the Depression years, materials, and recognized my talent and encouraged it and developed it. And so when I realized that with six children in the family, I would have to have a scholarship, they told me, Ashley, come back, take up a graduate program, because I was high school, graduated in January. And in the summer, take the exam for the Cooper Union. They do not see you there. So at that time, it was an exam. You brought a bar of plasticine clay, and you did a sculpture, an architecture drawing, and a drawing problem they gave you. And then you put your answers on a tray and left the platform of the Great Hall with your name and address.
And later, it's all scholarship, right? I mean, Cooper Union, one of the premier art schools, if not the premier art school in the country.
Yes, it's a school of art and engineering, and it's free tuition to this present day. If you get into the Cooper Union, your tuition is, undergraduate tuition is covered. And so I left my work with the others on the platform of the Great Hall, and when the professors came down later and selected out, mine was one of those selected for the school. Now, I was the only black in my class, but it enabled me to go on, which I could not have had that opportunity.
What was your experience like in that school?
It was terrific. All those students became close friends, and through life, we've encouraged each other, followed our work, and any who are alive today are still very close to me and always supportive of each other's work.
And you served in World War II?
I served in the Second World War. I was at I was drafted at 19 into the Second World War, a segregated army into a company of stevedores. I didn't know the first thing about anything of the docks, but we worked on the docks in Boston, docks in Glasgow, and then ended up in the invasion of the surprise weapon that had been invented, which was the amphibious dock, which could be a boat in the water and a truck on land. And that enabled a major force to land on a beach, and that was not expected. The major forces were to land at a major port where you would have the, that's where the, but they had mined land and there were pillboxes all along the coast. So that's why in the films you've seen the tremendous loss of life in gaining the foothold. And it was only after that was gained and they went forward that we unloaded our Liberty ships and then went ashore to dig our foxhole and remained there as the ships came in unloading the ammunition, the vehicles, everything that was needed to back up an advancing army.
Working on those docks and being part of that invasion, the part that you played, must have been great grist for an illustrator. This must have been wonderful for you.
Well, it was. That's why, you see, after the war, veterans have so many problems that need to be dealt with, you see, because that experience, it goes down deep, and you ask yourself so many questions as a result of the devastation and the loss of lives. And so that's why so much need of a person returning home. Now, some people have a direction, family, friends to support and go on, but others are more or less lost. I always knew that I'd continue in art. I had strong family and friends, so I was able to continue going on. But I didn't talk about it. It was many years because it was discovered by the people I knew in the world of the arts that I had been in the Second World War.
Did you? Your work centers on often African folk tales and themes that are in the African and African-American tradition.
Yes. Well, that was very important to me, the whole cultural contributions of black peoples to our American culture. So I worked to open up stories, open up the work of the contributions of the black American poets and the songs of the black American slaves, which are so extraordinary. And that meant everything to me because people sing the songs they often don't know. They come from black American slaves.
You've done beautiful books that illustrate the yes. Negro spirituals as they've come with black prints, including the musical notes themselves. Is that right?
Yes. I did that so that the children, in reading music, would have a chance of discovering ways of the melodic lines, the key signatures, and everything through the spirituals, you see. They were engaged in all the challenges of music. And since children from fourth grade on were learning to read music with a C recorder, I made the notes very clear. Any melodic instrument, you can pick up the melodies. But it meant so much to me to open the tremendous gift of those songs to people throughout the world, from black slaves who were forbidden to learn to read or write. Mm.
But the music, as you say, is universal. And I know you're passionate about sharing that music. Would you share one of the songs with us now?
The songs that were sung, yes, because they're sung throughout the world. And loved in that way. And the people have felt them. He's got the whole world in his hand. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. When the saints go marching, swing low, sweet chariot. Oh, didn't my Lord deliver Daniel's Moses, you know, go down Moses, go tell it on the mount. They're all so common. They're known. But often people do not know they are singing songs that are a gift from black American slaves.
Did you illustrate these? The inspiration for the illustrations in these books, did it come to you sort of a long time ago as you heard these songs or when you sat down to put the
book together?
I think
it's natural for artists to see images and want to draw to them. Everyone sees images. If I say certain words, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack jump over the candlestick, you'll see an image. But you can't avoid seeing images when you read. Reading is very creative because of that. And in those songs, the words of the song inspire the images. And so I got shoes, you got shoes. Well, I had no shoes, but that made me do those picture. I remember how early on you photographed children with their feet coming forward with shoes on. They're not even walking yet, but they got shoes. And so there are different ways you get ideas.
Tell us about your latest book, Who Built the Stable?
Who Built the Stable is a nativity poem that I wrote. There's so much about other things of the nativity, and I wanted to do one, and I had a little boy the one who was worked as a carpenter, and he built the stable. When he saw these two people in distress, he wanted to help them. He didn't know who they were, but he invited them into his place and said, "My animals will welcome you," even though it had been shunned by people. And that will be out in the fall of this year, published by Athenaeum Press.
Yes. You're still going strong, born in 1923 and still on tour, and you have a very busy schedule. What a pleasure to talk with you.
A good pleasure being with you.
Ashley Bryan, children's book author and illustrator. Here's the story. Tonight at 7 o'clock, he's going to be signing copies of his work at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill. Ashley's going to be at Quail Ridge Books and Music in Raleigh tomorrow at 3. And then he's going to be at the Regulator Bookshop in Durham tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. All that to help point to a collection of some of his work called Rhythms of the Heart, the illustration of Ashley Bryan. That's on display now at the North Carolina Museum of Art through August 19th. Ashley's going to be making an appearance at the museum in Raleigh on Sunday, April 22nd, 3 p.m. That event is free and open to the public. Visit ncartmuseum.org for more information. On the state of things, just ahead, an archaeological dig uncovers important information about early Christianity. Hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.